We speak with Peter Fleming, book writer and lyricist of the book No Limitangere. Good day, Peter.
Hello, Annalyn. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you for being with us today.
I'm more than happy to be with you, yes.
Yes. The book No Limitangere is known to most Filipinos, especially those who were born and raised in the Philippines. But for the benefit of our listeners and those wondering, what is No Limitangere? What is this about?
Well, of course, it's considered in many ways the national novel of the Philippines, and of course it was written by the national hero, Jose Rizal. Now, the story itself I see as a love story, the love of one man for a woman, for an idea, and for his homeland. And the story takes place on the eve of the revolution against the Spanish in the 1890s. And the story involves a man called Crisostomo Ibarra, who comes back to the Philippines from studying in Europe. And he wants to find out what happened to his father, who died while he was away. He wants to reconnect with Maria Clara, his beloved of his youth. And he also wants to bring European education to his local village and build a school there. And that's where the problems really begin. He runs up against a lot of opposition to that. And so much so that he ends up, you know, on the run in the company of a man who has a very different kind of idea, Elias, who wants to cause violent revolution. And that's sort of the conflict in the play, ours is a musical version.
Yeah.
So that's in the story in a nutshell, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to ask. You're giving a twist to the story because hopefully the audience will enjoy the story through a musical.
Well, that's right. And, of course, it's not just Crisostomo Ibarra's story. Another critical or major character, of course, is Sisa, who is a woman who is really the victim of the authorities. In different ways, she loses contact with both of her sons, and she spends much of the time searching for them. Now, that all sounds very, very somber and serious, and it is, but it is a musical. There's beautiful love songs and so on. And also some opportunities for comedy through some more eccentric characters like Tasho. And it is a musical. It's a traditional book musical. So you have scenes where people speak and then you have songs. And sometimes the songs turn into sort of sung scenes. But, yeah, it's a musical. And we're doing a staged reading of that, meaning this is a step that you do where you try to get the show on its feet and the actors have the script in hand and they move around the stage. They tell the story, they act out the story, but, you know, no sets and costumes and lights just yet. And the idea of that is so that we can get a feeling for, you know, how the musical works. It's a fairly common practice.
Yep. Yeah. And it's sort of, they're going to sing a little bit of the songs.
Oh, yes. The songs are original songs written by myself and Alan McFadden, who writes the music. What we've done, No Limitangere is a very, very big novel. It's a beautiful novel. You can't really tell the whole of the story with all of the characters in a dramatic form lasting about 2.5 hours. You need to decide how you're going to edit and shape the story. And so we have done that. And, of course, when you've got musical material, song material, the spoken word becomes very, very brief. What we've tried to do is to get to the essence of what I believe the story is about at heart. That is, at least from my point of view. I see this as a musical about a man's desire to educate his people out of poverty. And the woman of his dreams shares that dream, of course, but there are obstacles, you know, so they're sort of star-crossed lovers, you might say. So there's quite a bit of yearning. It's a romantic show. It's a very romantic show in lots of ways. It's romantic in terms of the two people in love. It's romantic in terms of a desire to make the world better. And it's also romantic in the music. Alan went up to the Philippines on a cultural tour to learn more about the world that he was writing the music for. And what he said when he came back was that he wanted to write a score that captured both the beauty of the Philippines landscape, but also some of the violence of the sad history back then. So the music captures both of those things, yeah.
Yeah. So is the Sweet Sweet Land a result of this one?
Sweet Sweet Land is a song which we've created. And in the show, it's sung by Maria Clara at a foundation ceremony for the school that Chrysostomo Obara wants to build. It's sung by a girl there, but we also made a recording for that we put out on iTunes, and we got to the lead in the show, Miguel Castro, who we knew and who was doing some things in Sydney and was available at that time, to sing a male version of the song, because we wanted to make the point that it's a universal song. Sweet Sweet Land is a love song to the Philippines, and that's what it is. It's a love song to a homeland, and can be sung by a man or a woman. And I think what's interesting is that here it is being written by two Australians, but I should point out that my wife is Filipina, so there's not that much
it's not strange.
I'm not being too ignorant.
Yeah, because you're a writer, and what's the reason why Noli Mitangere interests you?
Well, the thing that fascinates me about Noli Mitangere, or I think what got me into it was, first of all, that I was beginning to fall in love with the woman who would become my wife, more or less at the same time as I was falling in love with the Philippines. And being a romantic at heart, you know, when I started reading the novel, I just luxuriated in the story. And of course, then what came to mind was, how on earth do I turn this into a musical? Because Alan and I love, that's the form that we love best. And but I just felt I had to do it. It wasn't immediate. I read one translation, or began reading one translation, and couldn't quite believe what I was reading. I didn't realise, in my total ignorance, of course, of the difficulties that back in the 1890s that they'd had with some of the members of the church there. And knowing my wife to be a sort of a modern Catholic Filipino of great faith, I thought I must be misreading the translation. So I got another translation, and it was, for me, better. And I read it and thought, no, that's exactly what's going on. This is very contemporary for Australia, even though it's set in the Philippines 100 years ago. So all of those things just fired me up. And it actually got to a point where I don't think I've told anyone this, but this is quite genuine. I just got to a point where I thought, I can't not write this. I can't not try to write this, you know. It just was crying out. And that's really what led us to this point now, yeah, where we have a wonderful Filipino cast. There are a few people who need to look Spanish, so they're not all exactly Filipino, but most are. And they're doing this staged reading of it. So that's the journey.
And the staged reading is on Sunday, the 14th of August.
Yes, we're doing it at Parramatta Riverside Theatres on Sunday, the 14th of August. Now, there's a 1 p.m. and there's a 5 p.m. As I say, it's a staged reading, so no one should expect a completely full production yet. This is, as I say, a part of the evolutionary process. But I should hasten to point out that the 1 o'clock actually is full up. It is free because, as we say, it is a staged reading, actors, script in hand. We have a wonderful director, Arnie Niemi, who's actually Estonian, which is interesting. And I only mention that because he's Estonian-Australian, and he's a brilliant fellow with text and with movement, and works wonderfully with actors, and has wonderful, enjoyable rehearsals. But when we showed him the script about a story set in the Philippines, his comment was, this could be the history of Estonia, this could be the history of Australia, this is the history of, you know, oppression of the original peoples by an outside force, and, you know, the desire for freedom and dignity. The reading really will only go for about 2 hours. You know, it's a two-act show, but we'll have a bit of a break in between. Anyway, just hoping that we do justice to the culture that we so love.
Yeah. Do you think, will we ever see a stage proper musical of Noli Mitangere in Australia?
Well, that's our aim, and one of the reasons we're having these readings is to invite along potential sponsors and investors and producers, and to test the water that way and get them interested. We firmly believe in the project. It's very difficult to get a musical production, but we're committed to it, and we're certainly working towards that. And I should explain that the reason it's a reading is the best way to do it is because the musical script always exists in two places, in the score and in the script.
Mm.
So it's very hard for people to appreciate it until you get it on its feet. So that is our plan. I think this is the first time that, quite say Westerners, because, you know, Philippines is a cross between West and East, but certainly the first time an Australian pair of collaborators has taken on this story, because as you well know, I mean, Noli has been told in the Philippines, in Tagalog, in so many different ways, but we're trying to do a universal version that will appeal to audiences who don't necessarily know the background of the Philippines, but can still follow this story and then become more interested in the country that gave it birth.
And it's also good to mention that Jose Rizal has been to Australia in his journey.
Yes, I know. Well, and in fact, I should also add that earlier this year we did a smaller reading of the material. We've since made some changes, and this is sort of the more finished version. And we had a relative of Rizal sitting in the
audience. Oh, wow.
Yes, that's right. He came down from the country to see it, and fortunately we passed the relative of Jose Rizal test. I think, as I recall, it was his relative through his sister, I understand. He was very positive, and a couple of other Rizal experts were there too from the Rizal Society, and they all... But okay, I should also add that another reason for doing this story is because, as you know, so many Filipinos live in Australia, and Australia really embraces Filipinos as individuals. You know, we get on so well, and it's such a happy relationship, but I don't think there are many Australians who actually know much about the history of the Philippines, or the culture, or the background, you know, and I really wanted this to be something to provide a focus for not just Filipinos to enjoy seeing their own show in a new way, but also others to come to appreciate it, and because it's such a powerful history and such a... I don't want to rave on, but I went to the Ayala Museum once and saw the 60 dioramas of the history of the Philippines and beautiful carvings and so on. And but the story they told was a one of oppression and struggle and revolution and hopes lost and overturned. And then, of course, you came around the corner and you saw they had an exhibition about the People's Revolution of 1986, and it was very moving. And I just hope that some of that emotion comes through and is appreciated by the audience. Yeah.
And thank you very much for bringing the story of the Philippines, or the history of the Philippines, in Australia.
Adeline, I hope that we do you justice.
Thank you very much, Peter Fleming, for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
SBS Filipino, sa radio, online at mobile.